Hi, friends. Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast, where we explore what it means to connect with the people around you and how to get better at finding and cultivating meaningful friendships. So good to be here with you today. My name is Kaylee.
And my name is Tiffany.
So today we're kind of jumping back into things. It's been a little bit of a hectic last couple weeks. So I actually just finished up my second to last semester in my program for interior design. And so I was kind of drowning in finals.
Took a bit of a break. Other people is not your own.
Yeah. So we've kind of been a little bit more slow with our process of this gathering, just with life kind of getting in the middle of it. But there's been some cool spotlights and different things. So we'll go over that and then we'll kind of just jump into the research that we've been doing. So,
yeah. So I guess I can start with a little bit of you touched on your finals preparation and that kind of stuff. We've had a lot of different traveling because we went to visit you for your graduation walking ceremony. And we had a really fun, I wouldn't call it an event, but our family watches conference for our church. And we got to invite some friends over that were from South Sudan. And so it was my friend Gloria and her daughter. They're so fun. I love seeing the difference of how different cultures do things. So my friend, I went to pick her up because she doesn't have a car. And she totally got dressed up, like in her super nice silk dress, and had her hair done up, like an updo, really pretty. And her daughter had a dress on. And my kids, we were all, because we were just watching it from home, like on TV. And so we were all just in our sweats and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I just thought the difference of culture, where if you're going somewhere, you dress up.
Yeah.
In her culture, you know?
Yeah.
And also it did make me think maybe I need to prep better or prep other people better so they know what to expect.
Yeah.
In my defense, there was someone else kind of a go-between helping, and they were the ones who, you know, set it up a little bit. And so I didn't have as much to do with it. But anyway, I've been to her house several times, so I know her pretty well. But anyway, it was fun. She was like so fancy and came. And one thing that I love about gathering with people from other cultures is kids just gather naturally. Like there is no awkwardness. It's just like I had coloring books and some blocks and some different things out that the kids could be doing while we were listening. And they just sit down, jump in and start doing whatever you have, you know. It's just not as awkward as with adults. So I love that part about kids. So sometimes if you're feeling a little awkward about gathering, if you have kids at the event, if it's appropriate, it kind of eases the tension, breaks the ice a little bit. So anyway, that was really fun.
Along.
So that's kind of, we've been up to just a couple impromptu gatherings like that. And it didn't require anything extra. You know, I just had the normal stuff. I had some food out that I was going to make anyway. So it wasn't anything extra, but it was really fun. And just fun to see someone else's view of what we were doing and how they do gathering.
Yeah.
What about you? You've been...
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously life has been kind of crazy just getting ready for finals. I feel like every semester people say, you know, oh, this is the hardest semester. The next one is actually a lot easier. And I have yet to experience that. I feel like every semester I'm like, this is
the hardest.
Harder. Like, this is the hardest. So last semester was the hardest semester so far. And it was just
say that so you don't quit. Oh, don't worry. Finish this one and you'll be fine.
I feel kind of lied to.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but you did
it. I did it. I've got one semester left. And in the midst of all that, there was actually some kind of cool gathering moments that I've noticed. One that I want to spotlight really quick was a friend of mine has kind of gotten together this group of people, and she's awesome. Like, she's just super good at, like, she's got a designer's eye, and so she's really good at like making flyers and making them look good and like getting word out and stuff like that. And so she has put together like a little group of people she knows, but then also people she doesn't know that, you know, it's just been like word of mouth kind of passed around. For anyone who really wants to do like this yoga challenge for 30 days. And then at the end of the 30 days, whoever completed the challenge is going to meet up at a park and do like a potluck all together. and do like the last so yoga challenge all together.
So were you one of the friends, or were you one of the like friend invited a friend?
I was one of the friends. And so I've got some friends that I've invited that she doesn't know, and she's got friends she's invited I don't know, and then their friends have friends that nobody knows, you know, so it's just kind of like spread, which is cool.
And so is this through text, or how are you checking
So it started through text, and then it's moved to just a different, I think it's GroupMe or something, just so, you know, people of different, you can leave or stay or add people later on. And anyway, but yeah, people check in. I haven't been super good about checking in, but people check in and just say like, hey, here's how it's going for me. And every once in a while, my friend who's kind of leading the group will like post questions like, you know, what's your favorite yoga mat? Or like, how do you feel any looser? Do you like, what are the changes you've noticed? You know, stuff like that. Yeah, I think it kind of helps people stay connected, but also kind of stay accountable, you know, so you don't like, just be like, I tried, you know,
right,
like 2 weeks in. So yeah, that's been really cool. I think it's just really fun to see people gathering, you know, around, even if it's not something I'm necessarily like starting or involved in. It's something I can kind of see from the outside, like, oh yeah, other people find this important.
Right.
So yeah.
That's so fun. Yeah. And I think it's nice because it's like, here's something I want to do. And it's always better to have an accountability partner. If you involve more people, then you feel like, okay, I got to stick with this. Like,
this is a whole group.
Yeah. Yeah. So why not? Why not have this kind of a friend space? You know, that's such a great idea. It makes me think, I'm already thinking of like, what are all the other ways we could use the same idea? What things are you interested in? Because I've been trying to be better about cooking. And so I think, okay, what if I was like, hey, I'm going to cook a new meal each week. Who wants to do this with me? So I was telling you about this when we went to visit you guys just last weekend. We went to the super cute French bakery called Eclair's.
Oh, yeah.
And it was in City Creek Mall in Salt Lake. And oh my gosh, they just had this glass countertop with just tons of different eclair types. And that was fun. But the part that really got me was when you picked an eclair or whatever you wanted to buy, then they gave you these super cute pottery plates, like thick pottery with like florals painted on them. And that's what you ate on, like an actual fork and plate. And then you just could take it outside or you could sit inside. And it made me think of how could I do this at home? Because it just made it more special, you know, just because you had instead of a paper plate, you had this super cute plate. So what I've been doing today is you gave me this idea, actually. I've been rearranging my cupboards. And so I have these cupboards in our dining room, which our dining room is kind of a multi-purpose room. It's really big. It's not really supposed to be a dining room, but our family's big. We needed to seat more people. So we turned this kind of living room area into a dining room. And it used to have all of our games and our homeschool supplies and printer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm moving all those out and I'm putting all my dishes and candlesticks and tableware stuff in these cabinets. And my thought is that I want to have people over once a week or once a month and just say, okay, I'm trying this new dessert or this new appetizer. Come over anytime you want between this and this time.
Yeah.
Open the cupboard, pick your favorite plate. Like, it's just going to have random, whatever I find or whatever I already have, you know, from thrift stores or from whatever stores I find. I just like color and beauty. So I thought it would be so fun, like this store, to just go in and be like, pick your plate. Like, what speaks to you? Come get it. And we'll just like eat and chat for 1 hour and then everyone go home. And that way it holds me accountable to cook, try something new, and I get to gather my people. So
I love that.
You can kind of get inspiration all over, you know, if you travel or even if you're in your community out and about, just look at what people are doing that you love and see if that can be adapted to some kind of gathering.
Well, and I think that's cool because, I mean, if you find something that you really like, it's pretty natural to want to share it with other people. And so if you're like, this would be such a cute idea. Okay, how could I like share this with people? You know, that's a pretty natural thing to want to do. So it's not even that far out of what you're probably already doing, you know?
Yeah. Well, have you heard about that guy? I can't remember his name, but I think I saw him on Instagram probably, that is making beans and cornbread once a week and his table's open. Like he just makes, it's always the same. It's always beans and cornbread. And whoever he sees that week, he invites. Like people he doesn't know. He just says, hey, I do beans and cornbread every Sunday if you want to come. And he just gets random people come and it's grown. And beans and cornbread is cheap. Like it's not expensive to make a pot of beans. And I think of that because my grandma made a pot of beans every week. And I just love that. The idea of I want to gather people. I don't have a lot of money. It's not going to be fancy because it's not about the food. It's just I'm going to feed you so that you stay and fill your bellies. But
come chat. Yeah.
You know, I just like these kind of ideas that people are doing where it's just like, this is who I am. This is what I have to offer. So come over if you want.
I saw another one just while we're on the topic of cute, you know, ways people are gathering out there where there's this like they're doing like a little birthday party for I think she's like a 7-year-old. And what they do is she loves to do art. And so they hold a like, I don't know the right word for it, but like an art
soiree.
Yeah, like you just come see her art and it's like all hung up and like it would be in a museum. An exhibit. Thank you. Yeah. So it's like an art exhibit. And so people come in and everyone that came in and it's like adults, too. Like there's like aunts of the kid. There's just like people around that she had invited to her art show.
That is so cute.
And they all bring flowers. And so they like bring bouquets for her and she like walks them through her art exhibit and like it's all hung up on the wall and people are like actually eating food and like examining her art. Like it's a real art exhibit. And she's like telling them all about like what this one means and what that one means. And I was like, that's such a cool idea, you know, like to do a little art exhibit. Like even if your art is not great, you know, it's still kind of fun. And so, and then at the end, they kind of had this little, like everyone made their own art and hung it up. And they had like some, you know, bite-sized stuff. They had like little macarons. They had, you know, anyway, just so many good ideas out there about like how to gather people and do it in a way that's not intimidating. It's just, it's something she's already making art. This is a way to like, you know, showcase her on her special day. And also it's fun for other people to like come and be like, oh my gosh, this is so cool and make her feel really good about herself, you know?
Yeah. I mean, man, what a good parent.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's really like a Phineas and Ferb moment, you know, like, are you old enough to do this?
Yeah. Whose permission did you get? That's so great. And even I think it's a good way. It's almost like an adult party that you have a reason to attend because it's for a kid, you know? Right.
Yeah.
It's like, I want these random neighbors to come over, but it feels awkward to be like, hey, do you want to come to my house? But if you said, hey, we're doing this fun, quirky art exhibit for my 7-year-old.
Yeah.
You want to come. And
also, like if somebody had art they wanted to bring, you know, if it wasn't like,
oh
for
my
a
gosh,
birthday,
yes.
How great, because it's not like we're featuring these extraordinary artists. It's like my 7-year-old is the main artist. So if you have anything you want to put up or showcase or have poetry or whatever, throw it on up there. It's not going to be more crazy than what's already there, you know?
Oh my gosh. I think I want to do this. I can already see my teenagers. Several of our kids like art a lot and they have very different styles. One of my sons has more like comic strip character, but really good. He's really good at these type of drawings. And, you know, I could just see all these different types of art. You've got sketches or oil paints or comic books or, you know, that would be a fun teenager event.
If you had several artists, you have different like hallways that are different artists or different, you know, styles of art, and they get to pick out like where what goes where, and you kind of make it like a whole exhibit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh man, cool. We're giving away all our ideas in one show. We should have spread this out.
Anyway, just thought that was
such good ideas. So there you go. Summer's coming up and there's tons of fun things you can do.
Yeah.
You could get super crazy. I mean, I'm just thinking we have one of those above ground pools in our backyard. And what if you did some kind of like super funny fashion show for a pool party.
That would
not,
be cool.
Not even bathing suits, but like who can have the craziest inner tube or, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? Or
yeah,
like
uh-huh,
bathing hat or, you know, I don't
yeah,
know.
Accessorize their sunglasses. Sunny,
you could like, there's so many different things you could do yeah, this summer. So start thinking, be creative yeah, and, I love it. That's so fun.
That's awesome.
Okay. And so if we move on to our
actual gathering.
Yeah. That we're thinking about coming up. It should be really good because we've been planning now for how many months since it's right, been, but
yeah, distracted as, planning.
Yeah. This is real life and this is how it goes. So we'll do mine first just because mine doesn't yeah, have that much to talk about. But mm-hmm, I was going to do that spring cleaning party and I talked to a couple friends and just said, hey, what would you say if I said, I want to come to your house and clean something for 30 minutes with some friends and then we'll rotate houses. Would yeah, you actually be comfortable letting us do that? And it was funny because it took a while. They all were quiet for a minute. And then one of them, I was just laughing. She's like, I'm wishing you said this earlier because I had to buy a new stove. And when they came to take my old stove and moved it, it was so disgusting underneath. And I was like, never again. Like this, you yeah, know, I'm not going to have this random stranger to come to my house and have a mess like this. Because she's a pretty clean person. And I just love her. She's so funny. And so she was like, maybe I would if like I knew someone yeah, was coming and we were going to clean under my stove or whatever.
Yeah.
And so most of them were kind of in that middle, like, I think I could do it. That it's a little uncomfortable. I think I could do it.
Uh-huh.
And so that's about as far as I've gotten so far, is just filling it out with different people, seeing who would actually be willing to do it.
Yeah. That's I've got a big couple part for your party, I think.
Right. Because it is very vulnerable. You're letting someone yeah, see. I mean, it doesn't have to be a dirty space. It could be a garden where you're just like prepping it for flowers or vegetables yeah, or pulling weeds, you know. But
yeah,
if there's one spot, for me, I'm thinking things that you just don't ever get to. Like we're going to mm-hmm, wash baseboards or, you know, something yeah, that maybe isn't necessarily gross, but it's just like, I've been wanting to happens, clean my windows. It's spring and I mm-hmm, just haven't got a chance, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I'm still trying to plan that. Although I feel like I need to do it quickly because I'm starting to get distracted with this really nice weather and just wanting to be outside.
Yeah.
I'm already feeling like I just want to go outside and have a party.
Like we don't need to clean the house.
Yeah, we're not going to be inside the rest of the summer. So we might as well.
Spring cleaning?
Forget that party. Yeah. Cleaning's past. I miss spring. Now into summer.
Got to try next year. Hopefully my house gets clean one of these years.
We're well ahead planning for next spring. But no, but I'm hoping to get that done really quickly because of that. Like seasonally, you just feel like it's time to move on. And so mm-hmm, I am still cleaning my house, as I said, with moving all my dishes and cupboards around.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at with that. How about you?
So with mine, I've kind of been doing a lot of research into just like what even am I signing myself up for? Because just like as a quick refresher, I am hoping to do what's called forest bathing. Mm-hmm. And so that's like a Japanese cultural, I wouldn't say tradition, but it's definitely got its roots in their traditions and cultures. And so basically the idea is that you get a group of people together and you kind of do like a group meditation, but it's got to be like in a forest somewhere. And so the goal is to just really like tune into nature and try to just really be present with like what's going on around you. And there's been a lot of really interesting research that I've kind of been diving into, because when I first heard about this, I was like, that's really cool. Like, I like nature. I would love to go outdoors and celebrate spring. Mm-hmm. And this seems like a cool way to do that. But the more I thought about it and like read a little bit about it, the more I was like, I have no idea how to do this. Like, there's actually a set way to do this, and I don't know how. And so I need to like either find someone to teach me mm-hmm, or to like certify me, because that's a thing.
Yeah.
Or I need to like really, really know my stuff before I take a group of people out, you know?
Yeah.
And so I've been kind of researching, I've just been diving into trees and like, what's the big deal with trees? Like, why is this such a powerful thing for people? And there's some really cool connections, lots of different ways I could kind of take this. But the first kind of thing I want to touch on that's super interesting is people are finding that there is a lot more to how nature connects to itself than we thought originally. So like one example is trees, the ones that actually live, like they are known to live forever. And so the ones that actually live the longest are the ones that are found in forests. And so some people can kind of explain that away as like, oh, well, they have more protection because there's less wind or there's blah, blah, blah. And that is part of it. But when scientists are actually looking into this, what they're finding is that these trees actually are connecting with their own species. And so like a birch tree is able to recognize another birch tree from like a cypress, and it knows we're the same kind. And then they form sometimes, not always, they form a sort of bond where they communicate with each other about what's going on. If there's like insects that are trying to invade one tree, often you'll find trees that haven't even been touched yet are already doing preventative methods to get rid of these insects. And it's because they're actually communicating what's going on. And they're finding that if you, they've like studied a bunch of trees who are next to each other and in a forest. And sometimes there's a tree that for whatever reason hasn't been kept in the loop with the rest of the trees. And that one is the one that will be, you know, get sick from fungi or from bugs or whatever it may be.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah. And so it's just, it's super interesting how even on, even in nature, like not even, because we know humans need connection. Like that's kind of a big thing we're finding right now, especially after COVID happened. Yeah. But we're finding nature actually needs connection too for survival. And so these trees that have learned to connect and not only connect, but communicate with each other last like hundreds of years longer than a tree that's just in a park in the city that's kind of on its own.
Oh my gosh. That's even making me think about, you know, there's a difference between the trees all being there next to each other. That wouldn't help. Like, it doesn't matter necessarily. I'm sure it does help in some things, but it doesn't matter that they're just next to each other. They have to communicate. And that just makes me think about our neighborhoods, our communities. We have all these houses built next to each other, but if we don't communicate with each other, we're not getting the benefits that we could. Yeah. Have otherwise.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me think of there was a gathering for Easter going on last Sunday, and I had signed up to take a bunch of cookies for it. And then I just wasn't thinking through clearly. And then I realized I was going to be at your house out of town all weekend and get back late Saturday night. And that would mean my kids would have to make the cookies, which is doable. They make cookies all the time. But it was just one more thing, like, did I have all the ingredients? Would they remember? you know, just all these things. And they had a lot going on. And so it was like, that was not a good idea. And I was sitting at church next to a friend, and she was telling me about how she was making cookies with her grandkids and ended up making 4 extra dozen, or like dough for 4 more dozen than they needed. And she was like, I do not know what I'm going to do with all this cookie dough. And I was like, and I had been saying about needing to make cookies. And she was like, I'll make your cookies for you. Why don't you just let me make the cookies and I'll do it? And I was like, oh my gosh, really? Would you? Amazing. That would like save me this weekend. One less thing. And she was like, oh, that makes me so happy. I have it. And there's a reason for it. And I knew there was a reason I was making extra. So she made all these cookies. She texted me while I was at your house and said, hey, just remember I'm making these. Don't worry about it. So then Sunday I got home and went to church and was kind of sitting near her, and she was talking about it. And I said, why don't you just let me take the cookies? Like, you made them for me. I'm going anyway to this event. And I didn't know if she was. So why don't you just let me pick them up and I'll take our cookies over? And she was just like, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing, because I wasn't sure how I was going to get him there. I have like, I don't remember if she had kids or someone coming over for dinner. So it was so awesome because she helped me. I needed help making cookies. She needed help getting her cookies and mine to the event before it started. And I just thought, communication is so important. If I hadn't mentioned that I needed help, I would have known she had extra cookie dough. And if I hadn't like checked in with her again, I wouldn't have known she wasn't sure how to actually get them there.
Yeah.
So I think that communication is so important.
Yeah.
It's a good lesson.
Well, yeah. And it's something that's so interesting because there's just, I mean, you guys, there's so much to be found when you dig into trees, apparently. But there's something that I've also found kind of interesting is how trees prioritize things. So one example is like trees are technically capable of feeling like pain. And it's...
I've been cutting off a lot of limbs lately. I hope...
Yeah. So like the thing about that, right, is you could go into a bunch of different scientific, like, do they really feel it versus like, what does feeling pain actually mean? But
yeah.
Long story short, trees basically generate from a wound an electrical current, whatever you want to call it, that alerts them something's going on, and then they respond to it, which is exactly what we do when we feel pain. Like, that's what that is. And so in the scientific world, that's kind of, unless you talk to the person and ask them, like, what does that feel like? That's kind of the only way you can figure out if someone's feeling pain. Right.
Yeah.
And so trees have the same thing, but it's a lot slower than ours is. And so it's like, I think a third of an inch per, I want to say hour. Don't quote me on that.
But the electrical current travels.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like that the message gets from the wound to whatever it needs to actually respond.
Hmm.
And so it's interesting because as far as communication with other trees, everything they do is pretty slow. Like everything they do is on kind of a slow timeline.
It's like an Ents in the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. And so it's kind of one of those things where you just think about, okay, if it really takes that long for it to communicate with itself, right? But it still finds like time to communicate with the trees around it, then that's not just about, oh, this person might want to know that, or, oh, it would be nice. Like, clearly they have a lot on their plate already, just trying to like function day in, day out. So the fact that they see that as a necessary part of survival, I think is something that we could really learn from. Because a lot of times I think since we work so quickly on like with everything, we kind of function pretty fast. Sometimes we can forget like that we need other people and like other people need us. And so I think slowing down and remembering like, this isn't just about being nice to someone. Like this is about people surviving. Like this is about people actually developing and growing and surviving. And so it's been really interesting because the more I learn about like the forest and nature, the more excited I am to take other people out with me on this like gathering event and kind of teach them a little bit about, you know, what's going on around us while also like, we're connecting with each other. We're also connecting with the like nature around us. And then hopefully it'll inspire people to continue connecting. And so as they kind of like sit and are practicing slowing down and understanding more about these trees and how they function day to day, it's something that they'll hopefully take home and want to function that way a little bit too.
Yeah. And we were also talking about just some of the other benefits you get from being in the forest for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can touch on that a little bit with the chemicals that trees release. And I've been reading this book, The Nature Fix. And what was the book you said you were reading?
It's called The Secret Life of Trees.
Right. And so they've been talking about how actually your immune system is boosted. They did a research study where there's NK cells, which are their natural killer cells is what they're called. And they fight, you know, different viruses and things that enter your body. And they found that when you go out in nature specifically, it could be any nature, but it is like increased exponentially if you're in a forest or somewhere that there's naturally more trees.
Mm-hmm.
That your body starts producing an insane amount of these cells and your immune system is just boosted, and it actually lasts for a long time. It's not just while you're there, like after they left and they would test them later and it was like those were still there.
Yeah.
And so it seems like you were talking about reading something about that also.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a little bit of overlap between your book and my book. 'Cause Yeah, he's kind of talked about, so the author is originally German, and so it's translated into English, but he cares for a forest in Germany where he lives. And so he's kind of been in charge of different forests throughout his life, kind of what I pick up on. And so he's kind of talked about how trees, like the way they communicate is a lot of times through the sense, like the sense, like they smell or they emit, you know, oils that have smell. And so that's what warns like the other trees that things are coming, or that there's like, you know, a bug over here that's trying to eat me. And by the way, like,
beware.
Put whatever you need to out so that they don't come to you as well. And anyway, so a lot of the things that trees actually emit are things that our bodies respond really well to and kind of need, it seems like. Like from what he's saying, it sounds like there's a lot of stuff we don't get if we're not in nature consistently, specifically like undisturbed nature.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why people see huge spikes in like mood and in like what you're saying, NK cells, also huge spikes in just like your overall energy goes up when you're in nature. And so that lasts like a long time after you leave. Mm-hmm. They've like done different samples and tried to see how long it lasts. And so it's just something that I've been really thinking about. Like, it seems like connection is everywhere. Like, it's not just between people and people or animals, but it seems like the more we learn about nature and the more we learn about, you know, like the human body, the more we realize like we're meant to involve a lot of the world in our day-to-day living.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of different ways you can do that. But I think that that's one thing that I definitely want to like get better at is just, I don't know, like becoming more aware of like, what am I opening myself up to day in, day out? Like if I'm mostly spending time with a little electric box, then maybe I'm missing out on a lot of health benefits, which is not really great in terms of survival.
Right.
Maybe out on a lot of like mental health benefits by not connecting with people around me, not connecting with nature around me. So I don't know, it's just kind of been this very, it started out as just like, oh, this sounds like a fun way to celebrate spring, and mm-hmm. it's become more like, oh my gosh, we need this, people need to know about this.
Yeah.
Like, it's great,
shout it from the rooftop.
So kind of cool.
I get to see you, Kaylee lives near a big park. I get to see you with your megaphone out there. People, we've got to get to the forest.
The trees are speaking to us.
Oh, man. Oh. I mean, the cool thing about it is being in any nature improves your health, your mood, everything. I mean, if you go out on a walk, studies have shown that improves everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the more you're in nature, the more it's improved. So I don't have my book with me, but the Nature Fix was talking about the routine. So it was like every day you should get outside of your house, just in your neighborhood, some kind of nature every day. And every week you should go a little farther out. And then it's like each time period gets a little more. And every month you should actually maybe leave your community and go to a space that's more wild. And then once a year you should really take a weekend trip or a week trip where you're just enjoying nature. And, you know, it's kind of like these baby steps. And I just thought, man, I can see the results of that, because anytime I leave my house, like even just coming to visit you, you live in a city, but even just I can tell the difference in my mood. For example, when we were at your house this weekend, we went to Thanksgiving Point and it was the Tulip Festival. And we just spent hours walking through tulips and gardens and grass and trees. And you just feel different. And I don't think that's just a mood thing. It's because physically there are things happening in your body.
Yeah.
And it's all good. Like, it's all good stuff. And so,
I
think that's so important. And it's a good reminder for any type of gathering that communication is part of the reason we're gathering. Health, you know, there's so many different benefits for gathering with people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't all have to be nature-based. It just happens to be springtime. So we're, everyone wants to get outside more. So we're kind of focusing on that.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be cool to kind of transition, because we've been doing like this research phase of our gathering. And so transitioning into more of like, okay, actually planning the event, like planning the gathering with people, where we're actually including people more into whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
It'll be kind of unique, I think, from the last time, because last time, a lot of what we were doing was focusing on like hosting and getting comfortable hosting and, you know, trying to like figure out what different styles of like friends and people we interact with. It was a lot more focused around that. Whereas I feel like this one's a little bit more focused on like, you're going to be a little bit more vulnerable. Like you're doing different things. You're either like showing your mess to people, or you're, you know, going and sitting in a forest for a couple hours with people, or an hour, you know. So it's going to be a very different kind of gathering. And I think that's going to be so good to kind of have both sides of the spectrum and just see like there's a million ways, even if you're introverted, or even if you're, you know, don't really like hosting or whatever it is, like there's so many ways to connect with people, and that you're actually meant to connect with people. It just is, there's different ways everyone can do it.
Yeah. And so next time we're going to focus a little more on the actual planning of it. We'll have invited people. We'll have, you know, talking about location. We'll pick our location, set up. How is this going to work? Especially with mine, I'm still considering, how am I actually going to get to this many people's houses and get back in that short amount of time? And, you know, so all those kind of logistics we'll talk about. I think I'll also throw in with mine a little bit of how to actually, like, where to put things so that they're accessible as far as cleaning and, you know, what's the best way to do that. I've been doing a lot of research on where you put things in your home that you would naturally use them. And so I'm doing that with moving around my dishes and stuff, trying to think, okay, where do we actually use this stuff when we're gathering people? So we'll talk about that, and then we'll do the party. So Kaylee's got like 2 more weeks before she starts school again. So within the next 2 weeks, we are going to have these parties, because that's her window.
Yep. Window of time that we've got to work with.
That's right. So it's going to be so fun. And hopefully we're back on track. And you guys, if you fell off the wagon a little bit like we did, you can jump back on and just keep going.
Yep.
It's going to be fun. Okay. All right. See you next time.
See you next time.